Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, places like Niagara Falls or the Leaning Tower of Pisa or the Empire State Building, the Sky Tower in Auckland, Trafalgar Square in London and so on, will be going green this St. Patrick's Day. The day attracts over 100,000 overseas visitors to the island of Ireland. And it's also the time of year when holidays in Ireland are most researched online. It's Tourism Ireland's job to promote the island of Ireland as a holiday destination. And Alice Manzer, Chief Executive of Tourism Ireland, joins me now. And Ciara, you're very welcome. Cade Míle Fáilte Ruth, Alice, to
thank
the programme.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We were just wondering about this earlier on. In Trump's America, do you have to change how you promote or market Ireland, let's say in North America first?
Well, I think part of our appeal has always been that we have warm, friendly people alongside our gorgeous scenery and our deep history and heritage. And those things have evergreen appeal. And so we always want to make sure that people from any side of the political spectrum can feel welcome here. And that will continue with the new administration.
Really? So there are no massive boardings in America right now. Go to Trump's Doon Beg in County Clare, Ireland.
Well, it is a good note that President Trump himself has some tourism interests
have
in Ireland.
Have you leaned on that?
Well, we do work with Doon Beg already,
really?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the team from Doon Beg are fantastic. They've been with us overseas at golf shows and business event shows as, you know, part of the set of wonderful locations we have for visitors to come to.
Okay, that's very interesting now that you're leaning on what Trump has in Ireland. What else? How do you sell the message in, or how do you market Ireland? Could you encapsulate it in a line or two?
Yeah, we encourage folks from overseas to come to us, fill their heart with Ireland, and that means enjoying the stunning scenery, the warm culture and the deep history and heritage. And I think it's worth remembering that in the US, particularly, 10% of people trace ancestry back to Ireland with pride. And that's a wonderful starting point that we have, that there is a little bit of interest already in the US to learn more about our history and heritage and what there is to see and do. And we've got major campaigns going live for St. Patrick's Day because...
I was looking at the numbers we discussed this recently in the programme. In January, according to the CSO, visitor numbers were down a whopping 25%. What's that down to?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's been a softer start to the year this year than it would have been last year. We were coming from a strong place of 7 billion euros coming in from overseas visitors last year, and that grew 10% year over year. But you're right that January was down. And I think we've got a couple of challenges on our hands at the moment. There is a little bit of macroeconomic uncertainty that's making consumers right around the world conscious of costs. So if you look, for example, at how many people are searching for flights to anywhere in the world, let alone Ireland, it's looking a bit softer this January and February than it was at the same time last year.
Is that macroeconomic uncertainty down to Doon Beg, man?
Well,
I think
there are also issues with, you know, the economic outlook in places like Great Britain and Germany. And then the third thing I'd call out, where, you know, it's something that the programme for government commits to looking at, is of course the Dublin airport cap, because let's remember that 90% of our visitors come in by air, the majority of them come through Dublin. And for the US, for example, the number of seats available coming into Ireland as an island in the winter season was down 4% over the winter season because of the Dublin airport cap, down 3% from Great Britain. Those two markets together make up 50% of our inbound visitor revenue. And that should ease a little bit coming into the summer season because the cap is then on hold under legal review. But it's good news that the Taoiseach and our own minister, Minister Peter Burke, have both said it is high
something
up the priority
list
to look at it.
If we just go back to consumer sentiment, because I think that's interesting. And if you look at what's happening in the US at the moment, they are saying consumer sentiment is down because, as you say, there's so much uncertainty. But particularly if I focus on the US for a second, to what extent then are we reliant? If Americans say, not just because of the anti-Europe sentiment that we hear from Donald Trump, but also because they're worried about their own jobs, they're worried about the economy in the US, etc. They're worried about their own pockets. They decide not to come. How exposed are we?
Yeah, I think we would be exposed. The US is our biggest spend market in terms of visitors coming in and spending with us. Now, we surveyed consumers in the US back in November. We've just launched that research. And the good news was, at that point in time, people, 7 out of 10 people in the US were saying, yes, I do think Ireland would be good value for money. That's much higher than other places in Europe, actually. So the cost concerns that we're seeing are mostly at the moment coming from Great Britain and from Germany, where under half the people in Britain and Germany think
and
we'll
that
be good value.
Just because they don't know any different?
Well, the even better news is once they've visited us, 8 out of 10 think we're good value for money. So actually, I think what you're seeing there is the cost of accommodation and of holidays is much higher in the US as a domestic market. So when they compare, you know, what things might cost in Ireland with what they're used to back home, they think we look pretty good. Now, if you do the same comparison and you're from places in mainland Europe, it might be a more challenging picture. So you're right, the cost is definitely one of our challenges alongside the airport cap. And the two feed into each other a little bit, because when you've got the airport cap in place, that also pushes up the cost of flights. And that adds to any competitiveness challenges. But our job, of course, is to make sure that people can see brilliant routes in, and also that they're so excited to come that Ireland is top of the bucket list and people want to come and travel to us. And
well, it's very interesting you say that cost is a factor in terms of why tourists don't come to Ireland. Why else would they not come to Ireland? I know you research this.
Yeah, no, we do. So when we ask people who aren't interested in coming to Ireland, well, why? Why is that? You know, the number one reason is just competition. People may say, well, there are other places that I would rather go first. And our competitive set, when we look at this, people who are thinking of coming to Ireland, they may also be thinking about destinations like Italy, France, Spain, but they're also more likely to think of other Northern European places like Scotland, Iceland, Norway.
Yeah, but
than
the question
the
then I
person.
Would have is, if Scotland is a direct competitor, why would they choose Scotland? As opposed to here.
Yeah, well, and this is exactly what we want to focus on in our marketing, to dial up our strengths versus the competitors and then tackle any weak points. So the competition is one reason people may see as a blocker. Weather is another reason, but of course the weather is a common issue across Northern European destinations, so it doesn't single us out in that set. And then ease of access and cost are the other primary blockers.
Do you know, it's funny because there's a protest in the Gaeltacht areas nationwide today about the housing crisis and the fears that the Gaeltacht might go. And shouldn't we be trading on what is uniquely Irish? And I just wonder on that very point, if American tourists are saying, look, I could go to Ireland or Scotland, they're the same, let's use Scotland. I mean, are we making enough of what's uniquely Irish?
It's a great point. And actually, authenticity is a big theme at the moment in tourism. The people want to see and touch and feel. We spend so much time on screens. Once you're in the location, you really want to get under the hood of what makes that place tick. And on your point on the Irish language, we had a Times journalist over with us on the ground, and he wrote a wonderful article about touring around Connemara pubs with a partner called Porrick, who runs Connemara pub tours. And he was learning Cúpla Focal Oscuelga on a Connemara pub tour, and he wrote that article up in the Times that went out to readers across Great Britain.
Did it do well?
Yes, absolutely. So that's an example of often the journalists that we work with want to tell those unique stories. Mm. Another topic that has gotten covered overseas has been dry stone wall building as an ancient sort of craft. So often it is the quirky topics, or for example, the Blasket Island caretakers. So 80,000 people applying to go work on the Blasket Islands for the summer. That also got coverage right around the world. So you're right that you don't want to lose. You want to encourage tourism to the degree that it can support jobs and livelihoods, but you never want to lose what makes communities themselves and unique either.
And actually probably related to that, you mentioned ease of access being a problem. Is that back to the Dublin Airport cap, or is it when you get onto the island being able to get to various places on the island? Because I've spoken to a couple of Americans who talk about having their life in their hands trying to drive through Kerry. Like, they find the roads really, really difficult. The wrong side of the road, obviously, for them, but also just they're not used to those roads.
Yes, you're dead right. It's actually both. So the first thing to remember, and it seems really blindingly obvious, but it's worth keeping it top of mind, is we are an island. So if you're in Germany, you might be used to being able to hop on a train and go to Amsterdam or France or wherever else. So there's a little bit of ease of access that we can't change. But then once you accept that we're an island, the important thing is to make sure that we're unblocking any issues we have at Dublin Airport, making it easy to fly to us. So that's one thing. Then once people are on the ground, you know, often we think about people driving around, and there are lots of places that you can get to by car, but over half our visitors will never use a car on their trip. So part of the picture is helping people explore in the way that they want to explore. Mm. One of the things we'll do later this year in June is launch Slow Tourism Month, and we're going to be showing people alternative ways to get around the island. So the wonderful train trips that you can take. You can take a train to Galway.
Are you calling that slow?
I'm calling that a way to enjoy different types of transport. Okay. So get your train to Waterford and then cycle the Greenway. Get your train to Galway. Get the boat to the Aran Islands. Okay. Cycle round.
Just got my text.
I'm surprised that over 50% of visitors don't use the car, which is maybe a good thing, you know, but I am surprised, I must say.
Well, and it's something to watch, because if we don't help people understand ways to get around, you could end up with people just staying in the cities because they're not sure how to get around.
Yeah, and then
otherwise
they miss out on that authenticity piece that you're talking about. Just some of the texts. One person says, heading to Glasgow for St. Patrick's weekend. Flights and two nights for less than €250. Cost here is a real factor. And we will get plenty more texts along those lines.
Mm. And along the lines of what we were discussing, please let the Tourism Ireland CEO know, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
That there are other airports in Ireland, apart from Dublin, with plenty of capacity to take international flights and visitors if government will work to achieve that. Thank you, Suzette Lisser. And that's you talking about a cap.
I might come back on that. So that is a great point. And there's really strong growth from all of those regional airports. And we invest in marketing campaigns with the airlines in order to stimulate demand for people flying directly into Shannon and Cork and all of the other airports island wide. So absolutely, we're putting a big bet on that this year and we're investing our marketing funds in it. But because over 70% of the access island wide comes into Dublin, even with really strong growth at those airports, you can't completely compensate from the blockage at Dublin. So it's review the cap and support access.
Make Shannon
to the
great
regions.
Again is basically what they're saying, along with the other regional airport. Anyway, Alice Manzer, Chief Executive of Tourism Ireland. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.